Now, there's a multi-billion dollar question in the hospitality industry here in South Florida. What role do we want gaming to play in our tourism business? Well, Jim Allen is the chairman of Hard Rock International and the CEO of Seminole Gaming. He has headed up the tribe's gaming business for more than a decade and has led Hard Rock International since the Seminoles bought it in 2007. The tribe now runs seven casinos in Florida. And after a slow beginning to this year, business is picking up.
We certainly, I think, experienced, like everybody else did in the United States, February was definitely soft. A lot of uncertainty, obviously, with gas prices and some of the new taxes that came into effect. I think as we look forward, we're still optimistic that, you know, South Florida and the properties over on the West Coast are still a great place to be.
What is driving your business for you for the rest of this calendar year, do you think?
Certainly what we see here in South Florida is a tremendous influx of people coming from Central and South America. So the more we can do to try to attract, that guest, that customer base to say, look, there's another option here. Just don't think of South Florida as South Beach. That's certainly a focus. But at the same time, a lot of our guests are repeat, business that comes from the South Florida area within an hour or 2 hours drive.
Is your biggest competitor South Florida itself? In other words, is it South Beach? Is it that kind of beach amenity is your biggest competitor?
I would say that just there's so many different options here that it's not necessarily just South Beach. But, Orlando is only, a 2.5-hour ride. Naples and the amazing, Southwest Coast is, hour and a half. So Florida has a tremendous amount of attractions that become, I think, intriguing and interesting for one's palate.
That competition for his casinos extends to his local customers. Still, Allen says his hotel in Hollywood runs 98% full year-round. That pace of business has Allen looking for new opportunities to expand, and that's always a touchy subject when gambling is involved.
When you're talking about expanding the facility, are you talking about both the accommodations and the casino?
I think the first thing we need is more rooms, but certainly whenever you add more rooms, you would look at restaurants, you would look at retail, you'd look at the entertainment options, whether it be spas or some great, signature brands to be associated with an expansion. Then obviously, when that program is put together, then that will probably correlate to some additional gaming space. But we don't see a huge expansion of the gaming space here.
While reluctant to scope out any future plans to try and expand gaming, Allen says the Seminole Tribe has the financial power to build. In April, Moody's Investor Services upgraded the Seminole Tribe of Florida's corporate bond rating to investment grade. That means analysts think the tribe's financial condition is improving. But Seminole Hard Rock Entertainment has its own bond rating, and while improving, it continues to be considered a high-risk borrower. But before there is the need to pay for any expansion, Florida lawmakers would have to approve it, something they have not done. And not surprisingly, a full-tilt expansion of gaming in the Sunshine State is not something Allen supports.
When you think about Florida and you think about it being truly a family destination, whether it be in Orlando or even just the tourism side of Fort Lauderdale, Miami, and Pompano Beach, and all the way up and down both coasts, I don't think there's an appetite for to have Florida be the Las Vegas of the East. I could be wrong, but certainly that's the way we view it. And the Seminoles have been here for a couple thousand years, so we operate under the tribe's sovereignty. But I don't think that, a huge expansion of gaming is something that would be beneficial for everybody involved.
Thanks to a 5-year deal with the state of Florida, the Seminole Tribe won't face any competition soon. The tribe makes monthly payments to the state under the agreement. In exchange, the tribe has the exclusive right to offer blackjack and other casino table games in Miami and Broward counties through 2015. That's when the 5-year exclusivity is due to expire.
If we knew that there was certainty to the scope, because certainly there's a question about the scope after 5 years or a potential expansion after 5 years, but if we knew the scope was certain, I think we'd be interested in discussing thousands and thousands and thousands of rooms.
It's tough not to use gambling terminology when talking about this high-stakes game of the business of gambling in the Sunshine State. After all, thousands of jobs and billions of dollars may be on the line. Now, the state holds the regulatory cards while the casinos hold the cash. The current bet the state has made is to guarantee limited competition for a cut of the gaming revenues.
I think we certainly would love to have a conclusion, to have an understanding as far as what is the scope. So if the state truly believes that there is a better option and putting casinos all over the state, then obviously the Seminole Tribe would no longer pay any revenue share. I think it's very difficult for an elected official, you know, to evaluate the risk and the guarantee of an investment-grade company like ourselves, you know, guaranteeing, we guaranteed $1 billion. I mean, nobody's ever done that in the history. So, you know, and it's a proven entity. It's a proven business. But frankly, it really doesn't matter what we think. It's really up to the elected officials of the state of Florida.
Is it one of the challenges that you face in terms of that kind of business model? There's only one South Beach. You can't pick up and move South Beach. You can't add to the supply of South Beach or Orlando, for that matter, Disney World. There's only one of those. But, right, the casino, does it risk becoming a commoditized entertainment and tourism attraction?
I think that's a risk throughout the United States, you know, frankly. If you look at gaming, when I started in the industry in 79, you know, it was a real excitement to walk into a casino. It was like, wow, look at this. You know, it was exciting to go to a show and see a quote-unquote Las Vegas-style review. You know, gaming is, for all intents and purposes, in about 46 states, you know, throughout the United States in one form or another. So, you know, it's lost a little bit of the cachet.
Gaming can be a zero-sum game, essentially, between the house and the player. What about the industry? What do you think that means for the industry locally here and the impact that it has on the economy?
I think that overall it's been proven time and time again to create a lot of jobs, and jobs not just at entry level, jobs at professional level, PR people, advertising people, marketing people, technology people, accounting people. You know, if you think about the accounting staff, you know, that's involved in handling, you know, our gaming revenues exceed $2 billion, you know. So that's something that obviously is a tremendous financial responsibility to track all that. So there's a lot of jobs, and all those people, they then buy cars, they buy food, they buy groceries. And nobody, I think, that's fair and objective could dispute the ripple effect of not just gaming, because we, frankly, our brand, Hard Rock, is not just about gaming. It's truly about entertainment. You know, so if you have, I don't know, 25 restaurants in this complex, that's 25 chefs, you know, and all the different supports. So I think it's a positive.
Jim, let me ask you about the quality of the local workforce. You mentioned that Hard Rock has a ripple effect in the tens of thousands of jobs that it helps support through its direct business and indirect business. Are you finding the qualified workers in the local workforce that's necessary for the Hard Rock International growth plans that you have?
I think that, you know, as you know, we operate in 58 countries around the world. So we're probably one of the few organizations that really have a fair comparison or barometer. I would say that there's tremendous enthusiasm in the worker that is in, we'll call it the Florida marketplace. And certainly there is some differences between Tampa, you know, Naples, Fort Myers, Immokalee area, and we'll call it South Florida. Definitely there's differences. But with all that said, I think that what we find is the skill set is something that we're still teaching. There's certainly a lot more transient mentality, I think, in this particular state than what we see, say, in an operation, say, like in New York or some cities that have a little bit more historical, you know, I'm proud to be a doorman, you know, I'm proud to be a waiter in a gourmet restaurant versus, you know, I work in Aspen in the winter and I work in Florida, or, you know, so people just kind of a little bit more transient in this market. And I think that we're always trying to increase and enhance the skill set and frankly the commitment to customer service.
For a long time, Jim, educational institutions here in the South Florida area have focused on hospitality as an industry. Mm-hmm. Is that kind of focus not working or not doing enough?
Oh, I think from an educational standpoint, it's fine. You know, I think certainly if you think about, you know, the great hospitality schools, obviously Cornell, Johnson and Wales, you know, and obviously they have a local campus. It's not so much the person that's graduating from the local curriculum, if you will. It's the person who says, you know what, I'm leaving the Northeast and I'm going to go to Florida. I'm going to be a bartender, you know, or I'm going to be a waiter, you know, or I'm going to be whatever, or I'm going to go now to Aspen, or I'm going to go. It's that transient mentality. Like you go to New York, there are people who are proud to be a doorman. They are proud. It's a great job. You know, so if you grow up being, you know, at first you're a bellman and then you're a house or a houseman and a bellman and then you become the doorman in a great hotel, that's something where, A, it's a great income, but it's certainly you're not just opening the door, you're really acting as a concierge, you're really acting as an ambassador as far as the overall marketing plan of the particular establishment that you work in.